All right, back here with the professor on a Sunday morning. A good game coming up today, by the way. It is Madison Bumgarner today. Ron Wildes and I were just talking about him. Last time he pitched here against Colorado, 21 up, 21 down. Well, remember this? And Justin Morneau got the hit.
Yeah.
Thought he was going to pitch a perfect game that day.
Right, right. Well, he has his stuff every time he goes out on the mound, and he's on. You know it's going to be a long day for the opposition, and anything's possible. You know, you look at pitchers, you're talking about Schmitty and Bum, of all the guys that, all the guys that we've had have no hitters. You think, Bum is one of those guys that eventually is going to happen for him.
Yeah, 21 up and 21 down against Colorado. Remember that? And Justin Morneau got the hit in the eighth inning. I thought he was going to do it. Then the other night, 14 strikeouts.
Yeah.
I tweeted to Jason Schmidt, or he saw what I said, and he said he didn't really like it that much. I said, come on the show. And he sends back a note, says, what took you so long to follow me?
Is that what he said?
Thank you so much. So that's why I want him on. I said this would be good to talk to him about.
Yeah, he was a good pitcher here for a long time.
He was terrific.
Great years.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific pitcher. He made a lot of money with the Dodgers and never really did anything down there.
Yeah, no, we got the most out of him here. Yeah. And
what a trade.
It was a good deal on our behalf. And, you mentioned in good pitchers, we just saw our other good friend yesterday was here, Kirk Reeder.
Oh, right.
Kirk Reeder, and he was in a dugout. And, of course, Billy Hayes went over and rubbed his ears, and other guys were rubbing his arms and stuff like that because he's lucky as all heck. And he just has that ability to rub off on other people and have good things happen. So he was here yesterday as well.
Very happy guy, right?
Great guy. Great guy. Always happy, always smiling, always joking, and a fierce, fierce competitor.
How did he get away with it?
You know what? Like I said, he loved to compete, and he does not like to lose. I mean, obviously, he's the guy that does all the – runs all the pools and likes to bet on the other stuff, friendly bets. And he had that same mentality. He doesn't want to lose in anything, whether he's shooting hoops with you, playing horse, or he's out on the mound. Great pitcher. He's a pitcher.
What was his stuff, though? He didn't have much.
Well, his stuff was limited. He'd sink that ball away. He'd live on the outside corner, a little bit like Tom Glavine, right? He would live on that corner down and away, fastball, changeup. And you throw a little breaking ball at times, but then he'd pop you in when you start looking out there. He just had tremendous command, knew the hitters, knew their swing, and he knew how to pitch. And he's a perfect example that you don't have to have Bum or Jason Schmidt stuff to be a very effective pitcher in the major leagues. And I think he's been, the winningest left-hander in Giant
history.
Yeah,
very much. Oh, good. I'm glad you brought him up. Yeah, I did see him in the stand. Lucky guy.
very lucky. I think every pool that he ran, he won. I don't know if he's lucky.
Ever been to his house
smart.
And all that? His house?
Yeah, we've been out to the shed. He lives outside of St. Louis and been there a couple times. He always invites everybody out and gives us transportation. Beautiful home. And then he has a big, he calls it the shed, but it's another home. It's basically a sports bar is what it is, with a kitchen and TVs and a lot of fun.
You mentioned Billy Hayes. I happened to come in the other day with him. I saw him park his car. He got out. It looked like he was coming from a rodeo. This guy's got, really, the Western wear for him. This is major stuff.
Well, he lives down there in Arizona.
So do I, but I don't walk around like that.
You don't carry a gun or
come
anything?
Come on, not recently. No.
Well, that's part of Billy. He's a hunter, fisherman, and he was just showing us. We all bought some boots. The Lucchese boot guy was in, and I know he's just got a couple new pair of boots, and it's a good look for Bill. I like it. I like him with the vests and the hats and the boots.
Yeah, the hat. Seriously, he ought to be with Bumgarner riding the horse out. Next time you raise a flag, you ought to put him with.
I'll have to ask him if he's spent
is he
much
a horse
time
guy?
On horses. That's I don't know. That's a good question. He grew up in Nebraska and hunted a lot, but I'm not sure. I bet he's been on a horse a time or two.
I'll bet he hasn't.
Yeah.
I'm going for he has.
All right, well, dinner. We'll
he's got the look, and that's all he's got.
Okay.
That's all he's got.
You think? Okay, I think he's been on a horse.
All right. Rundowns. We always learn something from you. A lot of people listen to how the game should be played. You had someone hung up between home and third, and they took about six throws to get him. And what happened?
Well, that's not the way you want to do it, first of all. The runners, we had them. Was it first and third, and then the runners ended up on, or was it second and third?
They ended up in the normal, where they started.
So second and third, both runners ended up back in the same spot. And when it's less than two outs, you know, you want to try to get that run down done quickly. And we probably made every mistake that you could possibly make on that rundown, every player that touched the ball. But the real ones that were a little scary was, we didn't get out of the way. We almost obstructed the runner twice. And so when you get the throw and you're running the guy back, once you give the throw up, you need to make sure that you veer away from the runner and follow your throw to go to the next spot. And, I know Duffy was concerned. The runner almost ran into him because he veered across the baseline, and the runner turned around almost. He could have ran right into him. Got fortunate there because if he did, he would have been awarded home play. Mm. And, the same thing with Andrew Susak when he first got the throw and threw it. And instead of following his throw to go in the third, let the pitcher go behind him, he retreated. And for good reason. In his mind, he wasn't sure if the pitcher was going to get there.
Yeah.
So you don't want to follow your throw, and all of a sudden the rundown comes back towards home plate, and there's nobody there.
And it's been in the World Series. We saw that play.
We saw that happen. So, error in judgment, but he was thinking the right way because the pitcher was there. So that's what happened on that play. Fortunately, we eventually got the runner out, took too many throws, and we really dodged a bullet by not obstructing that runner.
Yeah, Vogelsong got there. But I thought, just watching it, I thought maybe the first throw happened too early or something. It was a long throw.
Yeah.
And maybe you had to run him back to the bag at that point. And that's just me watching.
That's the most difficult play that comes up. So the runner is on third. The ball's hit to the pitcher or the infielder. The batter runner is in between third and home. Pitcher gets the ball. He's supposed to go at the runner and get him to commit one way or the other.
Okay.
You like for him to go back to third, but if he's closer to home and your angle takes him home, then so be it. So you want to come at him. Once he's committed, you want to give up the ball. Now, we probably gave up the ball a second too soon, but I'd rather have that could get the ball in the player's hands where they can start the rundown. Well, now the batter runner's still in the middle. So when the catcher is running him back, he probably gave up the ball too soon as well. And that's what happens. It perpetuates like that. And I bet you all your listeners out there, nobody wants the runner to run by you. But 9 times out of 10, when players have difficulty with the rundown, they're getting rid of the ball too soon.
Yeah.
They're not running the guy hard. So get the ball, get it up out of your glove, run him as hard as you can, get the runner to turn so he's running, and now he can't change direction. Then you make the throw to the other fielder who has momentum coming in, and the runner can't change his direction. It's over.
Yeah.
But what happens is a guy gets stuck in the middle. He's never running hard. You give the ball up too soon, and there you go. It looks like a Keystone Cop video, right? It goes back and forth.
I grew up with Jackie Robinson, would do this, and he would intentionally get in. They call it the pickle.
Yeah.
And he could get out of it. It would be amazing. Do you ever see any real runners who you say come to mind that could really handle that?
Well, I'll give you an example. San Diego does a great job with it. And Alonso was the runner, which I might want to add. I know Tim Flannery mentioned this on Comcast, that we wore him out so bad he didn't get a hit the rest of the game because he stayed in that rundown. So it was by design to wear him down. But they did a good job, their base runners. Alonso did it there. When he's in the rundown and you're starting to go back to one base, he started on one side of the baseline. Then he runs to the other because, you need a throwing lane. Both players, fielders on each side. So if you're in a rundown, don't stay in a straight line. When you start running back and you think the guy's going to throw the ball, veer into his throwing lane.
Good.
And the other place that you see it happen a lot is at first base. And Venable did the same thing at first. Man on first, ground ball hit to the first baseman, and he's going to throw to second. Or if the runner's picked off of first, he's going first move and he's stealing. Pitcher throws over and a guy's picked off. Now he's running to second. Don't run in a straight line. Run in the lane of the fielder, whatever side the fielder is. So when they make the throw, it hits you in the back. We saw that play years ago with Reggie Jackson, one that's always replayed, where he runs into the throwing lane, and there was a big controversy on that play. So that's what you should do as a runner, is try to get into the throwing lane.
Good baseball. All right. Booing. I know yesterday Casey McGee hit the 15th double play. There was some boos. We handled it on the show last night. People called in. A lot of people said, look, we're Giant fans. These are Giants. We don't boo them. And do you hear it? And how do you feel about fans booing? They pay their money to come in. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, it's obviously a personal preference. I could tell you I've never booed an athlete in my life. I pay to go to watch the event, but I don't personally see any need. When I'm watching a game, it could be my favorite team or to boo a guy. Maybe because we've played the game. If you played the game and you're giving your best effort and you don't want to hit into a double play. You don't want to mess up. But, I understand the other side of it. I'm paying my money, and I don't think you're ever going to eliminate booing. I think a lot of people, they look at things differently. I pay my money. The guy's not doing good. I'm going to let them know about it. And you probably see a lot more of it on the East Coast than you do out here in the West Coast. And we've had some boos here over the years. Not a whole lot.
Not many.
But it definitely happens.
Yeah. You ever get booed?
In
the minor leagues, coaching third, ever make a mistake and people yell at you?
I probably have, I'm sure. Most athletes have been booed at one time or another. Nothing, comes to mind. I've been yelled at a lot. I don't think it was 40,000 booing me. I didn't play enough to have that. But, you hear the cat calls and the people yelling at you. You make a bad decision at third base. And you hear those fans are right on top of you.
Hey, I don't know if you saw the Chronicle today, but I have it up here somewhere. Oh, yeah. Flan's on the front page.
He is.
Come on. What do you think about? How do you listen to him? I'm sure. What do you think about him?
He does a great job. He's done a great job on the field, and now a lot of experience with the microphone down there in San Diego doing that. And I've been able to catch him. I think he brings a lot of insight and color to Comcast. So he's doing a great job, and it's nice. It's nice seeing him up there. Enjoy listening to him. Yeah.
Yeah. He's been interesting. He's always got a good line. About something,
Sure.
He said the other night, I think when all the injuries happened, he said, on a night like this, we would spend the whole night in the clubhouse talking about what to do.
Right.
So, you got the feeling.
Yeah, he's got great perspective, and he certainly knows how to deliver it. So he's doing a good job. It's nice to see. I'll have to read this article.
Yeah. I think he wrote it himself, but I'm only kidding. The last thing I have for you. The Wave. We got into this last night. And look, I know you concentrate on the game and you're seeing this, but you're a sports fan. You go to football, basketball, and all that. What do you think about the Wave?
I think it was how many years ago when it first started?
Crazy George. I think
was that
someone, San Jose at the Raider games
fun.
Or something.
You know, anything that gets the fans into it. It's better than them sitting there quiet.
Okay.
I remember first seeing it as a player playing. You said, wow, look at this. What are these people doing? It was very unique. And now when it comes out, you kind of look at it and if it's a full wave, it's impressive. If everybody's involved. But when it's half-hearted, I can do without it. You have the people up, half of them down. But if everybody's into it and the timing is good, it's still a beautiful
thing. You notice
thing.
It? Do you notice it?
Yeah, you watch it, right? What else you do? You got all kinds of dead time here between pitches. So you look at it, you watch the people go around. You notice it, you look at it. Not that you stare at it, but you take a quick glance, you see how it's working, and then you move on.
It's a people watching sport, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it at the ballpark?
Yeah.
Isn't it? I see you guys in Doug. Everyone's looking around all the time, isn't it?
It's the Wave is simple entertainment for the fans. You go into the event to be entertained, but let's face it, in today's society, there's music, there's bits on the scoreboard between innings. We have to be entertained every second of the day now compared to the old-style baseball, whether it's listening to it on the radio or going to the park and letting it move at its slow pace. We know today that's not what people want. Pace of the game is such a big issue. So it's changed, and that's the way it is today.
Yeah, well, next time we'll talk about the commissioner and the All-Star game and all that stuff.
Okay.
I know he came in to see you. Last thought, I did want to mention this. Rosario with his elbow guard. And Tabata had it last week when Scherzer lost his perfect game. He kind of leaned into it a little bit. Rosario looked like a knight from the round table. I mean, he's got stuff on. Can you just do this? Bonds used to come up with all this stuff. How does this work?
I haven't checked with the trainers recently, but it used to be You have to get that okayed through the league to wear that body armor and elbow guards. Usually there's an injury, you've been hit, and it's protection. You don't want to get hit again. It has to go through the training staff for you to be allowed to wear that protection to the play. I would imagine it's still the same way because we used to talk about it. We felt it was unfair. You had those guards on. You can lean over the plate.
Yeah.
It takes a little of the fear away of getting hit. You can, you know, have, if you get hit, so what? So be it.
Yeah, well, we saw with Scherzer. That's another, so we'll talk about that subject next. All right. Appreciate you being on. You got a nice trip coming up here. Miami, my old hometown. You're going there.
Oh, okay. You I might have to get a restaurant.
You see the sisters. My sisters will be out there. That's right. On Wednesday night, Renee and Marilyn are coming out.
Okay, good. We saw them last. I was last year, a couple of years.
A couple of years ago, they'll be
look
out.
Forward to that. Yeah.
And you got Jose Fernandez and allegedly Kane on Thursday if everything holds up.
Looking forward to it.
Then Washington.
Yeah, well, we've been there once already, but now we get to go to play a baseball game.
How about that? And you know, I'm sure they remember. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you know, to have the year that they had last year and not, you know, get past us is a disappointment. There's no question about it. And I know if we were on the other end of it, we'd want to beat them. So they're going to be ready for us, and I'm sure they're going to be inspired to you know, give us a tough time.
Yeah, great trip. I'm looking forward to doing the shows next weekend. Well, thanks so much, as
My
always.
My pleasure. Good being on with you, Marty.
All right. As the bench coach of the Giants on Sunday morning, the professor, Ron Wotus. More coming up on the Sports Leader.
KNBR 680.